dynamic voices for a diverse church. This is Pass the Mic.
Greetings and God bless. Welcome to another episode of Pass the Mic, dynamic voices for a diverse church. Powered by The Witness, a Black Christian collective. My name is Tyler Burns, and I'm your host. You can follow me at Twitter. Jabbar's trying to mock my intro. Look, man, I'll be setting you up with this intro. People know you off this intro.
But it's awkward.
You literally got a book deal off this intro.
I got a book deal off this intro. Okay. Thank you. But it's awkward. Like, you're doing the intro, which is dope. It's fire. But then, you know, what? I'm just sitting here. It's like, you I don't know what to do with my hands.
You just receive what God is doing. Yeah, you can look at what God is doing from afar.
So, you know.
No, but you could.
Greetings and God bless. Okay, my name is Jamar Tisby. Welcome to another episode of Pass the Mic, Dynamic Voices for a Diverse Church. I am your co-host. Host Dr. Jamar Tisby. You can follow me at jamartisby.substack.com, and I am with my co-host, as always, the one, the only, Tyler Burns. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, brother. That was decent. You know, I'm gonna give you about a 6 out of 10 on that one. I'll give you about a 6 out of 10.
Totally unplanned.
Yeah, because you did a freestyle. I can tell you was freestyling. I thought it was gonna be one of those we had to start over, but you did it, man.
Yeah, I listened.
You did it.
I listened.
I'm impressed, brother. We're gonna have some fun today because this is our, as you can tell, our AMA episode. AMA stands for Ask Me Anything. And so we have asked you all for some questions, and we are going to answer those questions. Some of them are deep. Some of them are not. Some of them are funny. Some of them are serious, very serious, actually. And so we are going to get into it, and we'll probably, I don't know how many questions we can get through, maybe 10.
Yeah,
well, if we're working.
Some of them.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see kind of how it goes. Listen, if y'all have questions for us, you can actually reach out to us,
at any time.
Yeah. You can DM the Pass the Mic Twitter handle, and that's at _ Pass the Mic. You can also reach out to us, info@thewitnessbcc.com, via email. And so we have received, some of you are like, man, I'm looking for a church in this area. I'm looking for this. I'm looking for that. We are willing to field those emails. So we have someone assigned to that. So you can't always do that. I'm not going to give out my email address or Jamar's email address because we don't want all that stuff. Yeah, we're going to
put that on the next question. What's Tyler's email address?
We got to cut that because I got some weird ones after that. But I love you anyhow. I love you anyhow. Okay. First question here. This is from Leah. What's up, Leah? She says, who would win in a sing-off?
Oh, my.
Or a dance-off?
Oh, my.
You or me?
I mean, I'm going to win at both. I first of all, I'm better at both, and second of all, I have more experience. And these are just facts. All right. So if we talk about my dancing skills, every time I got on the dance floor, can y'all hear that? Every time I got on the dance floor, I would clear the dance floor. It would be.
Oh yeah, I believe that. Like, I believe you would clear the dance floor.
But see, he don't even know what clear the dance floor means. He's like, oh, he's a bad dancer. Let me get off the floor.
No, they circled up.
To observe the poetry in motion.
Got to observe for the stories later.
I didn't ask for it. I just had it. Right? It just is.
Okay. Yeah, so, no. You know. I think you would win a sing-off only because you are a more confident singer.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's why you would win a sing-off. A dance-off, I don't think you would win a dance-off. I think the dance-off situation would be more about... I don't think you would win a dance-off. Because I think you would try to do too much. So your confidence would be your demise. So you would end up trying to do the most. And then you'd like turn an ankle or like you'd like, you know, bruise your tailbone or something. You try to do something to really get it. And you would hurt yourself. That's how I feel like that would be. Cool. What do you think? I feel like that's solid analysis, right?
Cool.
Okay.
No,
okay.
The only chance you would have of winning is if you knew a more contemporary dance that I just hadn't practiced yet.
Okay. I mean, if you think so.
I'm 100% sure.
Okay. Well, I'll give you that. I'm not trying to win. I'm not trying to beat you in any of those. I'm
That's
fine.
Also part of it, too. It's like, you don't really care.
I'm fine. Like, you good. You got it, G. You got it. It's very important to you, so you got it.
I mean, bro. I got experience. I got talent. I didn't ask for it. It just happened.
Okay. Woo, if you listen to our podcast, I wish you could see my face right there. All right, Caleb. What's up, Caleb? He says, if you could only read one author for the rest of your life, who is it?
That's good.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
One author for the rest of our lives.
You almost have to take a genre by genre.
You do, but yeah, I feel like you do.
I'm trying to think of like there's that question, like, what author do you read everything they write? Like, yeah, anytime they come out with something.
I mean, if it's one author that I could only read, like, I think it's important when you're talking about reading things and devoting your time towards that, to really have people read from people who are vivid, mm-hmm, in their imagery, but also can take you to a place.
Mm-hmm.
And so a modern writer who takes me to a place, even though he hasn't written a lot, is Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he takes me to a place.
Did you read Water Dancer?
I did not read Water Dancer.
I didn't either. So, I mean,
that would actually really be important, because if you can do the novel as well, right, as you do the memoir,
right,
and the long form essay, then I kind of got to choose you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So similarly for me, I mean, talk about transporting you to a place, James Baldwin.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say next.
Exactly. Yeah.
James Baldwin.
His trenchant analysis, like, you learn something about yourself when you read him, whether you're black or white or whatever. Right. And he was a virtuoso when it came to writing. So he could do fiction. He certainly did nonfiction. He did long form. He did essays. He did literature critique and basically any genre, mm-hmm, and just was incredible.
Yeah. Isabel Wilkerson too.
She's just in what she does.
I'll tell you another person that I feel like I absolutely love. I feel like if we had to basically write a contract and sign a contract, say, this is, you have to read this person's, this is it. But they're going to write more things for the rest of their life. The person I would probably sign that contract with is Eve Ewing.
Mm-hmm.
Because she does the comics, she does poetry. The poetry, she does the analysis,
sociology.
Yeah. And she comes from a depth. And if you follow her and follow her tastes, whoever has niche taste, whoever is really fascinated by niche things, I'm like, oh yeah, they're brilliant.
Of course, because it's
like the one thing. Oh, if you have this one thing where I'm like, oh, I love this. She has this whole podcast on this guy. I cannot remember his name, but there is a guy who did interviews over the course of.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and so he did interviews over like 40 years. He interviewed everyone from like Muhammad Ali to presidents to whoever. And she has a podcast about his interviews.
Yes,
that's the type of thing I'm like, oh yeah, you're brilliant. Because you can go to the end of something that's really niche. And so I'm like, no matter what you do, it's going to be brilliance. So yeah, Eve Ewing would probably be, she'd probably be somebody I would definitely read everything she writes. That was a great question.
It was very interesting.
That's a great question. One more for me, then I'll switch off to you. Yeah. Is evangelicalism redeemable? This is another one from Leah. Is evangelicalism redeemable?
Depends on what you mean by evangelicalism.
I think the question is appropriately broad, though.
So, I mean, this is big in academic circles. Like, the what is evangelical question, right, we've spilled thousands, tens of thousands of words of ink on it. Let me make it concise. No.
Yeah. I don't think so.
It's too hard to bifurcate evangelicalism in terms of its theological and its cultural implications. They're both intertwined. So to ask the question, is it redeemable, doesn't mean that there's nothing in there of value. Mm. But in terms of the concept, particularly in its United States 20th and 21st century kind of usage, the connotations that go with it, as well as the culture, the church culture that goes with it, the writing culture that goes with it, all of those things, we have to do something different. We have to do something new. We have to learn from what we learned from evangelicalism. And all of that stuff, as I'm saying, wrapped up in the concept and the ideology of whiteness.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so I don't think it has much utility going forward, except as to learn from and try to do something different.
I think evangelicalism is functional, but it's not redeemable. So it'll work for some people, but it won't last in the healthiest context.
Mm.
I think it's functional. It's just not redeemable. It's functional. Evangelicalism is 100% functional for someone who is conservative politically and ideologically, is in a certain tax bracket, has decided that they are going to live in a certain neighborhood. They'll send their kids to Christian schools, going to believe in the culture war. It's functional for them, but it's not redeemable for all.
I'd say it's useful. It has a utility.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's what I mean by functional.
Yeah.
Is it functions.
Yeah. I mean, I've just been in the intellectual conversation about evangelicalism for so long, for too long to say, yeah, you know, we just tweak this, that, the other.
No.
It's redeemable. You know, I think.
You got to knock the house down, I think.
The question is, do we even use that? Well, so evangelical as an ism. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is a thing. The word evangelical, we can't not use it because it's a Bible word. Like,
right. I mean, well, I would say that it is a word that has a particular connotation.
Yes.
And so I personally wouldn't be like, oh yeah, I'm an evangelical.
Yeah, we never
even
use
though
that.
Like, I would have obviously that. Identification with some of the evangelical beliefs and praxis, yep. But I just would not say that.
Not.
Even the quadrilateral, if you think about the quadrilateral, one of the sections is activism. Well, sure, of course. You know, like, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, way they meant
but
activism.
But the way you meant activism is different. Is
exactly.
Different.
Yes.
That's
yes.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I mean there would be some crossover, but it wouldn't be functionally
right.
Helpful.
It's much more of a socio-cultural category, even a political category, than a theological one.
Right.
And so in that sense, no. We can do better.
These are good questions, man. Yo, go ahead.
Here. Oh, this one's easy for you. Would either guys be willing to be a guest speaker at a Lee BSU meeting in the fall? Black Student Union.
Oh, Lee U. Yeah, of course.
No doubt.
I love Lee University.
Why don't you bring us
Black
both?
Student Union.
Like, they never get us both.
Right. Now, this is actually something. I want to put y'all on game here. There's something different about both of us together.
Yes.
And I know it's like, well, you know, the two plane tickets and all this. I know what you're thinking.
Worth it.
But I'm going to put y'all on game. You actually need to bring us both out. It actually makes a lot of sense. And people, I think, are leaving an experience on the table.
Oh, big time.
Because what we have spent 8 years, it's wild to say, but what we've spent 8 years now cultivating is something that is not just good for podcasts, but if you get us in an in-person gathering with a willing audience,
you said
we've seen it with the tour. We've seen it with the tour. It's experiences, and it can truly be transformational. I know podcasts that have started. I know organizations that have been birthed out of just simply being in the room on a PTM tour or at Joy and Justice Conference. Mm. I know it for a fact.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, you know, I'm trying to put y'all on. if you really want to have a tremendous event, bring us both out together.
And maybe this is the beginning of marketing ourselves that way, that we can both come to an event.
That's true.
And do it. I mean, it would be incredible. Absolutely.
It's always weird whenever that happens. I'm like, man, y'all could. But side note, that's another thing for another day. Black Student Union at Lee U.
Absolutely.
I had so much fun. When I was there, I talked about it's right before the pandemic. I did a lecture for everybody on the college, open to the public, called The Fierce Urgency of Black Christianity, and then which we played on the podcast. And then I did a private kind of lecture talk with Black Student Union on being young, gifted, and black. And it was tremendous.
Yep.
I just learned so much from them. So shout out to Lee U, Black Student Union. Yeah, bring us out. And if not him, then me. So.
How to balance justice and grace/mercy? I feel like we drift towards one or the other. How to balance justice and grace/mercy?
I'm assuming that this question is saying that it's hard to balance them in the direction of one individual. I'm assuming.
Or maybe in the direction of racial justice.
Of racial justice, yeah. I think we have to be careful about assuming that certain things are not overlapping. Like that it isn't that justice is, to use Cornel West's definition, justice is what love looks like in public. Mm-hmm. Right. And so he even says that justice that's only justice is less than justice, right? So just because you have a mindset towards justice, if that's it, if you don't have love attached to it, mm-hmm. that it's actually going to devolve into something less than mm-hmm. justice. And it has to be apprehended by love. And so as we think about those things, it is sometimes when we talk about doing justice, that's an act of mercy, you know, and an act of grace, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I would first of all redirect the framing, which is that justice can be mercy and that justice can be an act of love and it can be an act of grace. Even though those two things are separate, they overlap because they flow from the same source. And I think when we think about the integrated nature of life, we think about the fact that it's not as separate or disintegrated Absolutely. As we would want it to Absolutely. Be. But I think grace and mercy is always produced by those who have experienced it. Mm-hmm. And those who powerfully experience grace and mercy give it, but it does not disqualify them from doing justice. Mm-hmm. Because those who truly say that they love this God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength can't not love justice. They must. So it flows from the same source. So the question is, where are our loves? Mm-hmm. And out of that love, there's the production of both. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I hear behind the question, how do you navigate that tension between two other terms, judgment and forgiveness?
Yeah.
Judgment in the sense of naming something that is unjust, naming something that should not be so, and doing so boldly, you know, sort of speaking the truth in love kind of a thing. And forgiveness, which saying something isn't right. I may have named it, but I forgive.
Yes.
You know
yes.
what I'm saying? And to me, a lot of that has to do with humility. A lot of that has to do with the disposition of someone's heart. So say somebody did something towards me. If they're sort of arrogant in the act, if they are adamant, they did nothing wrong, my perspective is skewed, I'm taking it too personally, whatever, I have to keep naming what's wrong.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Because they haven't seen the error.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Whereas if somebody does something, says something, and they're like, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. Or they may not know it at first, but you do say this was wrong or this is how it affected me. And they said, I didn't mean that. I want to do better. Help me, you know, kind right. of a thing. That's a very, I often get that question in the context of, you know, sort of when do you bear with white people and when do you sort of move on kind mm-hmm, of a thing? Mm-hmm. And to me, first of all, the light is always on, you know,
that's good. Idea of,
we'll leave the light on for you. The light is always on for you. You know, if you're ready to find a space, find people, find a community.
It's here when you're ready.
It's here when you're ready. There's never, I mean, I think that's what's Christ-like about how we try to do this work. This is what following Christ means is the door is always open to redemption. But that is not the same as being a doormat. Mm. That is not the same as remaining in a toxic relationship or environment. It is to say that if you have a change of heart, which doesn't mean that you're full of knowledge, you can still be ignorant. But you're willing to learn, man, I'll rock with you. I might hand you a book first, you know, but we can have a relationship. Yeah. It's the hard-hearted. God talks about hard-hearted. In the Old Testament, it says, replace their hearts of stone with hearts of flesh.
Yeah.
And it's
the stiff-necked people.
Yeah, the stiff-necked people. No, I can't with that.
I can't do that one. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back. These are some great questions. We're going to come back and deal with about 5 or 6 more, however many we can get in our remaining segment right here on Pass the Mic. Hey, everybody, this is Tyler.
This is Dr. Jamar Tisby.
And we are excited that you're listening to this episode of Pass the Mic. But let me encourage you to support us. You can do so by going to patreon.com/pass the mic. And for just $1 an episode.
Just a dollar?
Now, that's the bare minimum. That's four quarters. But if you want to go higher, okay, 5, 10, higher. 15, that's 20, right. 25, whatever it is, that will keep this show going and keep the high quality that hopefully you enjoy. So thank you for listening. But you can take it to the next level.
Patreon.com/pass the mic. We appreciate you.
We're back here on Pass the Mic, and we're doing AMA questions. Ask me anything. You've got some good questions so far,
really,
man.
Rich questions.
Let's keep it
Thank
going.
Y'all.
Let's
appreciate
keep it going.
Y'all.
What's another question we got?
Okay, here's one. What is something people do that annoys you?
Is this just in general, or is this just in the justice space? In this, is this believers?
I think it's more kind of the public in the justice space kind of thing.
All right, y'all.
You see him about to dip his head like that?
Look, okay. Man. Here's something y'all been doing that's been annoying me. I'm looking at the camera. This is what y'all been doing. Y'all have been talking about Jamar on podcasts, but not inviting him on to explain what's really happening. And I'm trying to tell y'all, you trying to mimic the recipe and it don't taste the same. Okay? The sauce off. It's not seasoned. Okay? You trying to sprinkle it in. You thinking if I quote Jamar Tisby and I read off an article and I take sections from it and then give my analysis on it, it's going to hit. It don't. It don't hit. It's not giving what you think it's supposed to be giving. So I need y'all. I'm trying to help you. Okay, I want your podcast, I want your video to be the best that it can possibly be, but at least bring on somebody black. See, this is the thing. Now, when you're not even having somebody that's black on, when the whole pod is unseasoned, when there's no seasoning in the house, you ever been to an Airbnb and you want to cook something and there's no seasoning? There's no seasoning, there's nothing for you to
do. Go
not
to
even
stove?
No sugar, no salt, no pink Himalayan salt, because that's the real salt. I'm telling y'all right now. I'm telling you right now. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you out. I'm here for you. But I'm tired of y'all quoting an article and doing lines and doing very poor racial analysis because you will not ask him, hey, just come on the pod. Okay? Do you have time? He might say no, but then he could recommend somebody else that could come on the pod and season it for you. So I'm just trying to help. I'm trying to help y'all out. Okay? I'm trying to help you out. Another thing. Can I keep going?
I think you
Here's
got
another
more.
Thing.
Go ahead.
Here's another thing. Don't quote people. Okay. Don't follow me. Interact with me. Clap your hands. Be like, man, I encourage. Yeah. And then quote people and be cool with people that talk bad about me.
Thank you.
Listen, can we just have a base level? We have a base level here? Because critique is one thing. Critique is healthy and good. But then when you get into mischaracterization and they're your friend, and your friend mischaracterized me, and then you proud
you
enough
talk to, him.
To interact with
you
me
talk to him.
And then call him your friend?
Get your boy.
Oh, no, we're not rocking. We're not cool. I'm just going to tell you right now, we're not cool. That's not how we do it. I wasn't raised like that. We don't do that. So don't come around and talk like, oh, you good, man. I'm really looking forward to what God is doing in your life. And then you, oh, man, I can't, look at this. Carl Truman's research. He's so good. And he downed my boy. He dragging Jamar through the mud, and yet y'all are telling me that the rise and the fall of postmodern self is just so good. It just got so much good analysis. It's probably the best book on this and that. And y'all think I'm cool with that? Y'all think I'd be like, oh, okay, good. Yo, stop doing that, okay? I'm gonna tell y'all right now. And also, one more thing. It's just one more thing. I gotta keep it going. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Don't big us up privately. Don't defend us and clap for us privately and don't say nothing publicly. Collect your people. If you really, man, I'm really thankful for y'all, brother. Say it. Keep the same energy around your people. Why is that a DM? Why is that a text? It's cool. I know you got life. Stuff happens. But what it sounds like to me is you don't want to be seen with me. We're not doing that. Okay, this is different, y'all. Come on. Now, don't do that. Why are you sharing all my stuff? Why are you sharing my clips on your close friends on IG story? how that working?
Public.
You're not going to let it go public? Because I talked about being a black Christian? What's wrong with you? Who told you? Who told you to hate yourself? Who taught you? Who taught you to do this? Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry.
You mean he's pausing is what
I'm done.
Means.
I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Too much. Too much. No, no, no. Somebody's saying one more. I'm not going to do one more.
Here's a real basic one. Here's a real basic one. Folks keep asking, what can I do?
Look, man. Hey.
There's a lot. There's a lot. Look, but here's a basic one. Here's a basic one that we have to keep saying. Donate. Donate to The Witness. Become a Patreon supporter. Like, that never gets old. It never gets old. And if you've already done that, first of all, thank you. Thank you so much. Second of all, tell somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
Like, concrete, tangible support. So much. I mean, we have no lack of ideas, no lack of dreams, no lack of visions. What we lack is the resources. Absolutely. So that never gets old. It will never not be needful and helpful. That's just something basic. Just, you know. Go take and do.
And if you're going to share me on your close friends, don't tag me. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see. Why are you tagging me on your close friends? What does that do for me? Why didn't you share it with your 15,000 followers? Why you got to self-select 100 that care about racial justice? Anyway, I'm sorry. We back. Okay. Hi. How y'all doing? Y'all good? Okay. Next question here. He says, which historical figure dead or alive would you like to spend a week with?
Okay. So I know who you think I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah. I have a guess on who would be obvious for you, but I don't think that's the person you would spend a week with.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. It's sort of a toss-up. And it's going to sound – the first one's going to sound cliche. The second one, most people aren't going to know who I'm talking about. First one is MLK.
Okay.
All right. Here's my soapbox on MLK. It's the people who we think we know the most, who we understand the least.
That's good. That's good.
So look at MLK's body of work. First of all, I'm astounded. This man was the figurehead of the civil rights movement for 13 years. We sitting here looking back at 2020, like, what happened to the movement? It'd been 2 years. This man was at the forefront of the movement for over a decade, getting death threats from a month into the Montgomery bus boycott in 1955.
What would that feel like?
On top of it, he started his organization, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. He was helping to pastor and preach at a church, Ebenezer Baptist Church, which he moved to after Montgomery because his profile became so large, he couldn't stay in this smaller city anymore. He had to move to Atlanta. Then on top of it all, he wrote and he wrote and he wrote and he wrote. He wrote books. He also wrote out sermons. He wrote speeches. Yeah. He left us a body of knowledge. Shout out to Coretta Scott King, who secured and curated that information so that we could, decades later, still access it. And he was at odds at different points in his work with Black people, with white people, with moderates, with radicals, with whomever you can name, and somehow was a man in many ways of deep, deep principle, particularly on nonviolence, which many people utilized as a tactic, but he adopted it as a life philosophy to the point, many people don't know this, he was assaulted on stage by a white supremacist, punched repeatedly, and chose not only not to violently retaliate because of his philosophical commitment to nonviolence, but even afterwards said, don't press charges, bring the man to me, we need to have a conversation. I mean,
better than
we
me.
Don't know MLK. No, how many people have actually sat down and read a whole biography of MLK, right? Like, you can look at Taylor Branch's trilogy, which is thousands of pages, but there are many other shorter ones. How many King folks have even sat down and watched a documentary about King? No, we know the quotable King. We know what other people have said about King. I can't imagine what it would be like to sit down and spend a week with him as he thought through different social issues. And by the end of his life, he's thinking through war. He's thinking through poverty as well as race. Like, bro, I don't care how cliche it sounds. There's so much more to MLK. There's so much more he has to offer us, even in this present day and age, than we can possibly fathom. So it was a toss up. I was going to talk about Tom Skinner, but no, I think I convinced myself I would sit down with MLK.
Wow, that's powerful, bro. That's powerful.
Bro, it's dumb. It's dumb. And I'll say this to historians. I understand the movement and the impulse to say, well, it wasn't just about King, because it certainly wasn't. In her magisterial biography of Ella Baker, Barbara Ransby ends with the quote from Ella Baker, said that the movement made Martin more than Martin made the movement. She's absolutely right. It wasn't just MLK.
Absolutely.
I just think there's a lot to learn from somebody who had to act as a spokesperson, an interpreter, a bridge for and about the movement, not for a few months, not for one crusade, not for one movement or campaign, but for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, he was preternatural in his oratory, in his ability to synthesize philosophy and theology and current events.
I think my soapbox is that we undervalue oratory. That's my soapbox, is we undervalue it because we think it's common, it's levels. But anyway.
My gosh, no.
Yeah, it's levels. And
you
listen to
a Tyler Burns sermon and you listen to a Jamar Tisby sermon.
Stop, man. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I think for me, number one, this one's going to catch you off guard. Historical figure I like to spend a week with, Nat Turner.
Oh, yeah. Be very interesting.
I want to see what's up with that when he got to that realization. Another person I'd love to spend a week with is William J. Seymour. Because if I'm going to go back in time to before we was free, I need to experience some power.
He says, if I'm going to be alive in the Jim Crow era.
God got to be moving. He got to be documented. God moved. Okay, because that's the only way I'm going.
I got to have a revival.
Look. And then finally, I would say, like, somebody fun, you know, somebody that it would be really fun to be around this person for a week. Like, what would it be like to be around young Stevie Wonder for a week?
Well, he's still with us, but, you know.
He said dead or alive, dead or alive.
Oh, he said dead or alive. Yeah.
I mean, like.
But he's a historical figure. So
yeah,
thinking,
he's a historical figure.
Dead or alive.
Like,
it's an interesting thing.
Like, I mean. You know, what would it be like to be around, you know, just people who were doing things that were wild, but also experiencing like the height of their gift. Like, I would love to be around Sammy Davis Jr. when he was going from conservative to liberal spaces. Like, I'd love to be around that and see, like, how are you doing this?
I would love to be around Paul Robeson.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah.
Talk about an interesting life.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Like, what would a week with Sidney Poitier be like?
What would a week be like in Harlem during the Harlem Renaissance, you know?
Yeah, now you meddling. That's going to be wild. What would a week be like with Jeremiah Wright right after the news breaks of him saying, God,
buddy.
God, bleep, America. What would that be like? See, I want to actually choose the week too, because I can't. You just can't be airdropping me into a random week, because that might not be the right week. I got to choose the week anyway. This is so good.
Let me ask you one.
Go ahead.
Vision for the witness for the next 5 years.
Woo! You should have ended with this one, man. You know, I have so many right now. The witness is in a rebuilding behind the scenes phase, so a lot is happening behind the scenes that you don't see. And yeah, you'll see podcasts and blogs and events. But what I'm most concerned about is two things, infrastructure building and community building. So I believe that the witness is in a building season, and that building will happen behind the scenes and then will eventually emerge into the public. But I think communities of refreshing is something I'm fascinated by and I'm on. I think infrastructure building in terms of how we build out organizational dynamics. And then how we give you resources, because that's a game the witness hasn't really gotten into yet, but how we give you resources and curriculum that will spur on your faith to live a lifestyle of faith and justice. I'm thinking about community building when it comes to college campuses, when it comes to international communities, so much. But I think it's infrastructure and community building. And I think over the next 5 years, you'll see that in the resources that come out. So books will come out from the witness and from staff members on the witness. And then there'll also be events that happen. And all these things are designed to really say, how can over the next 5 years, the witness build out something that lasts for a generation and lasts and is actually able to sustain itself for a generation? Because that's the challenge of an organization. What does it produce? And and how does it last, you know, and does it reproduce itself in others, in other organizations? So I think that's where I'm at over the next 5 years.
It's really exciting.
I think we have a couple of more. Benita, I love this. I love this question. She said, first, let me say that I love the brotherhood you two have. I hope she listened to that episode about us going to mediation. She said, warms my heart to listen to your playful banter. When you have to tackle hard topics, you draw us in with your insightful perspectives. Thank you so much. We're going to use this on the marketing document. I always listen to each podcast twice at the minimum. Okay.
Wow.
Listen.
Wow.
Y'all some real.
Super fan badge right there.
Look. Thank you so much. Question, if you could have chosen, this is such a good question, would you two have preferred to be brothers by blood in the same family or friends?
Friends.
What? Brothers by blood?
Friends.
What?
I don't feel like we would have.
Wow.
Would we be doing a podcast together, lead a ministry together?
Bro, it would be even more powerful if we were like the Burns Brothers or something. That joint would be that. Can you imagine a branding?
It's got to be Burns Brothers.
Well, I mean, well, of course, you know. Brothers. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
It's Burns Clan. Into conflict.
It's Burns Clan around here, homie. It's Burns Bland. It's Burns Bland.
He's representing. Okay?
Nah, it's Burns Bland, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Brazy around here.
I feel like
man.
What part of what makes this such a good dynamic is we had such different paths.
That's a great point.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a great
so
point.
We were shaped differently because we were in different environments, different backgrounds, and we when our powers combine.
Nah, that's true. That's a great point, though. I will give you that. That's dope. Great question, though. That's a great
really
question.
Insightful.
Y'all thinking. Okay, just two more. This is interesting. Given the Grove City mess, could Jamar speak on the furor after his talk at Covenant?
Oh, they bringing up some stuff. Okay, so my talk at Covenant.
Y'all meddling, man. Y'all messy.
Really meddling. This is
y'all
okay.
messy.
This is really messy right
y'all
here.
Y'all is so messy.
Covenant College, Lookout Mountain, Tennessee, is the denominational college of the Presbyterian Church in America, which if you trace their lineage, goes all the way back to Southern Presbyterians, which are so called because during the Civil War, they split off from their Northern counterparts in support of race-based chattel slavery. Hmm. So that is the water that we're swimming in. Now, Covenant College is not terribly far from it in the sense of still being conservative, still wanting to sort of preserve some of that history. Now, of course, my experience with students and professors there in particular has been really positive on the whole. But I went in, I want to say 2017 and did the Reformation lectures there, which ironically were far more, I think, provocative than anything I said at Grove City College. Hmm. I did a series of three lectures. The most provocative part was I borrowed a page from MLK. In one of his speeches, he says, here's a section of one of Paul's letters
brilliant.
Updated for contemporary times to address our issues. I did the same thing with a passage of scripture. Well, of course, it didn't even come from the students primarily. It came from somebody watching online who said, well, he's doing eisegesis and he's playing with the word of God. Like, I
that's how we really sounded
intentionally.
Too.
Like, this is what I'm doing. I'm not saying this is God's word. I'm saying, what if we had a contemporary application? Anyway, there was a furor behind it. There were articles, there were panels, all of this stuff. And you know, I don't know that I have a ton different to say because the same dynamics are going on of Christian nationalism, of an anti-CRT crusade. What I would want to do is a couple of things. Number one, I would want to get the students of color, particularly the black students in the same room, maybe with both Tyler and I, and just share with them. Pour out into them because it is hardest on those students.
Yeah.
And I know what it was like as a very small minority of black Americans in my undergraduate experience. But you layer on top of this Protestant Christianity, evangelicalism, reformed. Man, that's tough. That's tough. And I don't want young black people to come out of that experience scarred and worst of all, walking away from Jesus because they've gotten some distorted view of who he is. Yeah. So that would be the primary thing. The other thing I would do is get together with the professors there, particularly the history professors, and pour out into them and give them a pep talk because what they're doing can be transformative, especially in those formative years around, you know, late teens, early 20s. And no matter what the administration does, no matter what sort of the climate around them, they can still be a transformative force in the lives of those students. So I'd want that to happen. And then lastly, I'll say if they do stuff that rises to an institutional level that is racist, that is white supremacist, we must speak out. Yeah, talking again about the civil rights movement, the whole tactic of nonviolent direct action was to provoke a response because it revealed the injustice of the situation. Y'all, we cannot do this in quiet. What is happening is these institutions are passing policies and making decisions, and we think for some reason out of respect of the institution, or we don't think we have a voice or whatever it may be, we don't speak up about it. And again, I say at the level of the institution, because then this now becomes sort of official doctrine, if you will. I'm not necessarily talking about one individual or a couple of individuals saying this, that, or the other in their individual capacity. I'm talking about on behalf of the institution. Yes. They will not change unless it is brought to public light. And we don't do it to throw people under the bus. We don't do it as a holier than thou thing. Mm-hmm. We do it for accountability. And so many of these institutions lack accountability, will not take responsibility unless they are held publicly accountable, usually by forces, people and forces external to the organization.
Wow. That's it. Y'all better invite him back. Man, I think that's it, bro. I mean, there's some other questions. There's probably like 10 other questions we didn't get to, but... Man, I think that's the wrap right there, man. I think that's how we should end it.
Keep the questions coming. Yeah, we'll do this again.
I really want to do this again because this was fun.
It was fire.
Yeah, dope.